Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. We have another one of our Urbanite Radio stories, which maybe I should start this way. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food, design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. And this is one of our Urbanite Radio stories. We're going to talk with Devon Brown, who ran for city council, if you remember, last election, when he was just 21 years old. There is a piece in the this month's Urbanite about Devon called Up by the Roots, How a Young Candidate Set Out to Overthrow a Broken Political System and Rebuild Trust Between Government and People on the Street. And Devon Brown, even though he didn't get through here during the campaign, he's here now. And Devon, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here with you, Mark.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Good. Finally made it on the show. So
finally, it's not the first time you've been on the show.
No, I don't think it's the first, but it's the first time in a long time.
In a long time. It's been a while. It's been a while. But now you you ran for, in that very crowded field, you ran in the 12th District, now represented once again by Carl Stokes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Odette Ramos was running. For a while, Robert Stokes was running.
And Robert Stokes, Jermaine Jones, Eartha Hurst, and Frank Richardson.
So and Frank, who I know very well.
Yeah. It was a crowded field. So
tell me, at 21 years old, never run for political office, a student at Maryland Institute College of Art, right?
Yes. Yeah. A senior at that.
A senior.
Art College.
Known by some folks in town because of your time at Boys of Baraka, and we'll talk a bit about that in a bit. You decided to run. So tell me, what's the story of why?
What was I thinking?
Huh? What were you thinking?
Hey, why not? Why not? And first of all, I just want to start off by saying a great article by my teacher, Michael Corbin. It's great. It's the best article ever written about me. But I don't think I was trying to really overthrow a broken political system. More so of showing people in my community that there is someone out there that actually cares about their issues and care about their needs. So it's not really political, even though I am running in for a political seat, but it's just the idea in people's mind that, hey, this person care about me. Just name one person in Baltimore City that you can say, you know, is Baltimore. Like, this person, people listen to this person that's in the political system that people will follow that's in Baltimore City, that really can push the people, that people really respect and look up to. Just name one person. I'll wait.
Oh, you want me to name the person?
Yeah.
It's not a rhetorical question.
No, it's a serious, it's a serious question.
Well, I think there are a lot of people in town who represent Baltimore who I would think in their own way, Mary Pat, you're talking about people on city council? I think Mary Pat Clark's one of those people who's got the soul of the city there. I think all in a different way. You might not like everything they do, but they feel like Baltimore. Bobby Curran feels a bit like Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Carl, who won the seat, he's Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I mean, so what do you mean that doesn't?
So what I mean is, well, in my community, in my district, I don't see it. I don't. And I think people don't really see. I mean, the reason that I ran was to reconnect the people with government and to say, listen, I'm here because I actually care. And so even though, you know, I love Mari Pleckler, I think she's great. Carl Stokes is great. But I think in some kind of way there's still something missing with this new generation of people. And I think change is always good. I think people get comfortable with these folks because that's all they know. That's all they know is Mari Pleck Clark because you've been there so long.
So Devon, and folks, join us here, 410-319-8888. And join the conversation with Devon Brown, ran for city council, about to graduate from MICA, a whole life ahead of him. He was made famous, at least in this town, because he was one of the four young men featured in the movie about Boys of Baraka when Bob Embry and the foundation started the school in Kenya. A lot of kids from here went, and there's a lot of questions about that as well, but which we can talk about. But what is it? What is it? What is it that you or other people like you, and by other people like you, I mean by younger candidates, we interviewed a lot of them, would do that's different? I mean, take any situation in the city, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Take where we are with...
School?
Like, all right. I was going to say schools first, but let's take schools.
Okay.
Let's take schools.
Okay. So, you know, here. So this is what I mean by being a little out of touch. Mm-hmm. So if you was to ask a political person, you know, what do we need to do to fix schools? They would say, well, you know, Baltimore City needs to take back control over the school system. Oh, well, we need, fire the CEO, or you know, so everything is like a political. But to me, living in Baltimore City, in order to fix the school system, you have to fix communities, because the foundation of building a better school actually starts at home, and education is not so much as far as in a physical building, more so outside of the building. And I think that's what the Baraka School had taught me, because education is more than just the institution. It's about experience. It's about how you interact with things that teach you stuff. And so in order to fix the school system, when you have children growing up in unhealthy communities,
yes,
such as drug infected communities,
mm-hmm, right,
parents who have no parents who have no jobs or very low income, you know, and then when you see people who are supposed to be leaders making the mistakes that they are making as far as corruptions,
yep,
and so what is right and wrong to these kids? And so when you have kids who are afraid to even walk to school, who have probably witnessed a family member or a neighbor or someone, you know, get killed or gunned down, you know, how can you go to school and focus on learning?
Okay, a couple of important points. Then I'm going to open the phone to you because folks want to join the conversation with Devon Brown. Nyla and Bowie, you come up first, and Aaron next. But let's take what you just said, all right? There are a lot of studies that have come out recently that talk about no matter what these educational reforms are, that long as young people are mired in poverty and
living in unhealthy communities
of destitution, mm-hmm, that they are not going to make it. Let's just take you, all right? You're now a senior at MICA.
Mm-hmm.
You're a senior at MICA because at one point, part of it is your work and what you did and how hard you worked to get there. But mm-hmm, part of it was because you were plucked out,
mm-hmm,
put in Baraka,
mm-hmm,
came out, and then all these other people who were adults,
mm-hmm,
took an interest in Devon Brown,
mm-hmm,
kind of were your mentors, and consulted with you. And so what you're saying is true. So you either have to have somebody who's wrapping their arms around you,
mm-hmm,
or you have to have a community that's changed.
It's love. And you have to change the environment. I mean, it's very important because, I mean, I didn't care. I mean, these kids, I mean, most children in these communities, they don't care about going to a school and having a number two pencils when they have so many other problems that they are facing. And it's love. It's love. Who cares about me? And so the reason that I ran is to say, you know what? I care. Why? Because I've been there, and because somebody and because somebody cared enough about me to take me out of my environment and to show me something different. And not saying that we have to take every child to Africa, but we have to try. I think education should be directed to the interests of the child. And so if I'm a person who likes art, why am I spending much time at a school that doesn't teach me how, you know, that doesn't educate me, but use art to educate me? Or if I want to be a doctor, why am I not in a school that focuses on educating me, but in a way that I could be around doctors? And so I think the film, The Boys of Baraka, really helped me gain the attention, because I always wanted to be, you know, the center of attention. That's why I was a classroom clown in Lombard. That's why I got suspended a lot of times. That's why teachers couldn't stand me, because I had to be up front. And so because I was able to go to the Baraka School, travel, being in, you know, in this documentary, gave me the platform to actually be the center of attention. Now I'm sitting here on the Marsh Steiner Show.
So let me go back to the phones. I have just a follow-up with that. 410-319-8888. But let's get to the phones first. Nyla in Bowie, you're on the air. You're well, welcome.
At first, I was going to say that, you know, although things didn't pan out as you wanted with the election, run again. But since you guys are talking about education and IT, I was just going to mention that, you know, a struggle that I deal with because I'm not from the area. And so is just what you were saying about so many things going on in the neighborhood. I find that many of my parents are very supportive, but unfortunately, just, you know, some of their neighborhoods are, like, really tough. And, like, mm-hmm. on my way to work one day, like, they were shooting, and I was really freaked out. So I'm like, oh, my God, they're shooting. And they're like, but that's Baltimore. Get used to it. And I'm like, how tough is that? I'm in my car. You know, I can hit the gas. Mm-hmm. But just think about those kids that are walking. And I'm like, and then they want to come in, and they just want to go straight into teaching. I'm like, you know, you guys need to take, like, a couple minutes mm-hmm. and debrief with these kids. Like, you know, how was last night? You know, you don't have to get in their business. But, you know, how can you, like you said, go with a number two pencil and go into, okay, we got to study history.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
not cover, like, okay, are you okay? How are you feeling today? You know, is something going on? I mean, so, like, a lot, because you hear a lot of people say, oh, these parents don't care. But I found that these parents really do care.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, if mom and dad is at work and their child is walking to school alone and they have these things going on, you know, mom and dad can't be there all the time. They're interested
right.
in our care for
right.
like 8 hours. So I think on the education reform, it's a really big thing that should be considered and kind of teaching outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you're saying, teaching to the interest of the child and addressing the need, meeting the child and where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not that these kids or, let's say, the people in these living conditions don't care. It's about who cares for them. And that's where I came in. That's where I come into play. To say, you know, I care because this is where I'm from. You know, my teachers taught me in these public school systems. I go to church in this community. You know, this is the community where I grew up. And even if I win or lose, it's really not about politics. And you know, okay, I lost, but I still won because of the smiles that I put on people's faces when I came to their door. When young folks see me running and see me in a suit, they see hope, and that's what I would like to think that I brought to my community was hope and understanding. And I think when you talk about the school system, is that a lot of teachers don't understand the conditions that these kids live in because they drive in and they drive out. And so what do? Do we hire teachers who actually live in Baltimore City, and do we develop, I think there is a program that's trying to get teachers to live within
Baltimore. Most teachers, I think, do live in Baltimore City, though, unlike the police who live.
Yeah, that's another, oh my God.
Let me get into the call in here. Nala, thanks so much. 410-319-8888. Aaron, you're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Brown?
Very well, welcome.
I'm good.
Yeah, you know, this is Aaron Wilkes, one of the community leaders in the 12th District.
Hey, we're going to Aaron.
And I would hope you would stay involved and not give up just because you didn't make it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you do have good ideas. I just hope you would stay active and not get discouraged.
Yes, sir.
And I was also curious about what would you do differently that you didn't do this time?
I think... Because when you start talking about, as far as campaigning, is different from the work that I've already been doing. And so the campaign part is a whole different beast, and you have to know how to raise money, and how to get the money. I love folks, even though it's not about raising a lot of money, but it still plays a big part. And I think I should have started on time. Early. I should have started much earlier, if I was planning. On running, and it's just a couple. It's very technical, just different technical stuff. I wish I could have knocked on more doors. I think that would have helped. And just a couple technical things. But that's a very good. I do know a lot more now as far as my campaign than I did when I first started. So it was a learning experience, and I'm glad I did it.
Aaron, thanks for being part of the show as usual. It's always good to hear your voice. 410-319-8888. Gwen, you're on the air.
Hi,
Gwen.
Are you?
Well, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually the mother of a Baraka boy.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I am. His name was John Moore.
John Moore.
Yeah. Oh. And I think you guys were coming home when he left. But I would like to encourage you to continue. I would like to encourage you to, I guess, get a little more involved in the, I don't know, the aspects of politics and public speaking. Let me say that. The reason I say that is because it's a little more detailed than what you're giving us. It's a lot more detailed than what you're giving us. And I understand what you were attempting to say or, you know, saying to the gentleman before me.
Mm-hmm.
We look at our young people. I look at my son, raised in a single-parent family, being judged because he was in a single-parent family. And when you come from a single-parent family, people tend to think that you're not well-educated.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to think that every place that you come from is drug-infested or rat-infested or roach-infested, and I beg to differ. But I would say that we have to raise the bar, raise the standard, raise the consciousness of the people that are in our local areas, be it Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Maryland, be it the world.
Yeah.
We have to raise the bar in our delivery, in our presentation, in all areas, not just because we have the ability to walk in the door and say, oh, I'm running for something. No, raise the bar. Make them look at you. Mm-hmm. Raise the bar. Make them listen to you. Raise the bar. Speak with authority. Let them make a different judgment about you, not because you're black, mm-hmm. not because you came from an inner-city home, not because you came from a single-parent family, but because you are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gwen, appreciate the How's your son doing, by the way?
He's fine.
Good.
He's doing fine.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
He wants to go back, but he's doing fine.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. For that comment too. And I to me, I would like to think that I'm raising the bar for myself, not because I'm black or live in that community, but because of who I am and what I want to accomplish within my community. And so but thank you, and I will continue to try to raise the bar for myself. So
one of the things you were talking about earlier when we talked about the what makes young people succeed, and you're talking about the love that has to happen for young people. But it seems to me that in some ways, what we don't talk about a lot is it's much more, it's even more fundamental than that, maybe. I mean, in the sense that, you look right now, it's not, even though he's not one of my favorite people, Rahm Emanuel, who's mayor of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
said that all the funds from their casino, and I'm not a big fan of casinos either, but that they're mm-hmm. there, will be going to put people to work by rebuilding houses, by rebuilding roads, by building rail, by
mm-hmm.
putting people down, and what makes family stable? What makes community stable? Love is great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people need their jobs.
Yeah.
If you have a job, you take care of a family, mm-hmm. and you raise a family because you can afford to do it. That's what we came to a place where the deindustrialization of society pushed all these people out of work. Segregation ended. Some folks got out into middle class, but a mm-hmm. vast majority of folks were stuck with nothing,
yeah.
and things fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
jobs is key, and job training is much more important. And but you know, I believe one way of having jobs is supporting local businesses, because small businesses is the backbone, and the spinal cord of our economy. Like Tohaku Brothers, it's a company that I've been with, and you know, our social mission is to encourage guys, in Baltimore City to become business owners and helping these young men start their own businesses. And this is an ice cream company that is ran by, young guys, but it's so hard to get the support that we need to maintain, our business. And I think a lot of small businesses, have that problem. And so I think what's unique about Tohaku Brothers, mm-hmm. is it teaches, folks like myself too, and the other guys that is involved in this company about business, about working. And hopefully, the guys that's a part of our company will be able to start their own companies, and they'll be able to hire. So the point that I'm making is that I think if companies get more socially active, whereas though they could train children, they could help parents, then we could do something whereas though we could create more and more jobs. I think where there's a problem, there's always room for a business. And if Baltimore City has thousands of vacant properties, why not work or partner with a local construction company or a developer and build a program that helps teach these kids or their parents or anyone within the city that's looking for a job who is experienced with, who wants to do hands-on work, give these kids the skills. Use the recreational centers to teach people who's good with using their hands a skill. And then in return, we hire these people and we go to work and we build. We rebuild Baltimore City.
Let's see if we got time for another call, or maybe two. Devon Brown's in the studio, 410-319-8888. Maria, you're on the air.
Okay, peace.
Welcome.
Hello. Okay, first I'd like to make a correction. Our children, they are children. They're not kids. We got that terminology from another group of people. They called their children kids. Now we jumped on the bandwagon and calling our children kids. They're not kids, they're children. Number two.
Sorry, excuse me.
When you're talking about raising the bar, I was listening to the sister that came on. She's talking about raising the bar. But look at the politicians that we have in office today. Their bar was raised. They came from two-parent families. They got the education and everything. And I can put them all together, and I can't get one man or one woman that had the best interest of our people. So that mm-hmm. don't mean nothing, raise the bar. If these people are not brought up studying their history, understanding their people, being connected to their people, they have dropped the ball. They don't even understand their culture, because they did, they wouldn't sit back and allow the things done that are done to our people today. Because when you have a politician that's a Greek, he looks out for the Greek. When you have a Jew, he looks out for the Jewish. We have African Americans in there, they don't look out for African Americans. Somebody mm-hmm. dropped the ball, because we're too busy trying to sound and be politically correct instead of rolling up our sleeves and see what we can do for our people.
I totally agree.
You totally agree?
I totally agree. I think that was a big piece of, because people was like, people said, you're not finished, college yet, and you're still in school, and you haven't had experience and doing this and that. And I'm sitting here looking like, am I living in the same city where crime is high? Am I living in a city where our education system is still low, and we have all these so-called educated folks in office? So I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about that one love. Do you understand my problem, and what are you going to do to fix it? It doesn't take a rocket science to fix Baltimore City. if people, if but if the folks wants to continue to elect the same people, and again, I don't bash anybody. I don't talk negative about folks. I just tell the truth. We have politicians who are in office who've been there for years, and it's time for a change. Because, of course, okay, you know, well, they do this type of work and they do that type. Because, okay, we have politicians. So if I can go into Charles Village, which is in the 12th district, you don't see the crime or vacant houses in Charles Village. But when I go on Caroline Street where I live and I have to come outside my door and see, two vacant houses that's been there for years, I have to go to a middle school that is in complete chaos where we can't even get equipment for a gym, and you take music out of our schools, and you know, and so and for, I mean, for God's sake, the lunch is horrible, and so it's not so much it's not about, I mean, it is about education, but it's about helping and serving people. Are you going to serve my people, or are you just going to serve one interest of Baltimore City? And I think that's what this campaign is about. And, like, hey, people might say I'm crazy, and I might say some crazy stuff, but I love my people. And it's not just blacks. I'm not just talking about blacks, but it's about the have and the have-nots. It's about fairness. It's about being treated equally. And it's about doing, and I'm a man of God, and that's what I believe I've been put on this earth to do, and that's to serve people. That's all I want to do. And even if I don't know a certain thing, I mean, everybody doesn't know everything, but what I do know, I ought to do what you know. And it's about asking, you know. So yeah. So people might say, well, you're crazy. You shouldn't have ran. You shouldn't have done that. But what are you doing to make the situation better?
I wouldn't say you're crazy, Devon. I'm glad you ran. And I'm glad you are doing what you do. And look forward to seeing what happens when you get your BFA from Maryland Institute College of Art this May.
Yep.
Coming.
Yep.
And, and see what comes from here.
Yes.
Devon Brown, you can read about him in this month's Urbanite magazine. It's one of our Urbanite radio stories. He ran for city council, but he's been running for a lot more. People want to know how to contact you. Devon does have a Facebook page.
Yeah, Facebook is good.
So you can find him there.
Yes.
Devon Brown, thanks for being here, brother.
Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Don't go away. I mean, I'm telling the listeners, don't go away, because we're going to come back right after this break. And we're here with Fern Shin and Anthony McCarthy. We're talking to one of our local congressmen and looking at some of the issues facing us today for the next hour. So stay with us. We'll be right back.